Hey there, this is Shane, and welcome to the Empathy Mining Podcast. This is a brand new thing. I've been thinking about doing this for a while, so I finally bought a little microphone that'll work with my phone and iPad, stuff like that, and I decided I'm going to give this a try. So I thought the first official episode of the podcast would be a good time to sort of lay out the mission of it and talk about the empathy mining blog, which this is based on. So before we get to that, I think it'd be helpful for me to just start off telling my story and the long, strange journey that brought me to the point where I am now. Make a small part of my living as a political commentator, a writer about politics often. And that's something that if you'd asked me about that 5 years ago, I would have laughed at you and said, that's ridiculous that I'd be doing that. I tried to steer clear of politics at all cost 5 years ago, and that began to change with the unique situation we have in our government right now and for the last 3 years or so. So let's start at the beginning, tell you my background. I am a product of a very strong Christian family. My parents, both strong church members their whole lives, they were in the church anytime the doors were open. They were part of every committee and choir and all that stuff, and they were also the youth leaders at my church growing up for probably, I think, 30 years or so. Now, understand, this was in the days where these small town churches like mine, they didn't pay youth pastors to be full-time staff members. These were volunteer youth workers. And my mom and dad never got paid for their work with the youth, and they spent hours a week and traveled all over the country driving large groups of kids to youth conventions and outings and things like that in a school bus, a converted school bus turned church bus. My grandparents were both sets of grandparents were very God-fearing Christians as well. Both my grandfathers were Bible scholars who led Bible studies and Sunday schools for adults for years and years and years. They both served on various committees in church, on the church board of elders and things like that. So just pillars of the church. My grandmothers, both sweet saintly ladies, prayer warriors. You picture a sweet little old God-fearing prayer warrior woman, and that was my grandma. So that was the atmosphere in which I grew up, in the church every time the doors were open and all of that. Now, you might think that you already have the rest of that figured out, but I'll bet you're wrong, because you probably pictured me in a conservative, political conservative household, and you'd be wrong about that. Both my grandparents, both sets, and my parents, politically progressive liberal Democrats. I'm going to say that again. My strongly Christian family were Democrats. Yes, that is a thing. And that is one of the major themes that run through my writing. Because at some point along the line, the conservative group of Christians have stolen the narrative on what it means to be a Christian in our political climate today. And I sense that that's beginning to change. I sense a growing movement of more politically progressive Christians, but it's still very much a thing, and that is what really is the biggest part of Trump's remaining support base. So that's why I focus so much of my writing in that direction. And part of that is because I have a unique ability in this case to see both sides of it, because I'm, as I tell the rest of my story, you're going to find out I went away from my upbringing in different ways, and only later, more recently, came back to it. So I grew up in that setting, and then when I went off to college for the first time after I graduated from high school, I went to a private Christian college for 1 year, and it didn't take. I played basketball, but I didn't do much else as far as going to classes and things, because I got off on a different path that took me into a lot of partying, things I did not do at all in high school. Once I had the first little bit of freedom, I ran right into that storm, and I stayed in it for quite a few years, 8 to 10 years. And consequently, I did not graduate. I never focused in on any career path. I always wanted to be a writer, but I think I was terrified to try and fail. So I never went after it, never settled on anything, and consequently took about 10 years in the School of Hard Knocks doing jobs I hated and looking for happiness by partying. And that's a no-win situation. So near the end of that period of my life, and part of the reason it was the end of that period of my life, is I met my wife, and we were married in 1994. And that set me on a different path. For one thing, I returned to the church. During those years of my misspent youth and young adulthood, I wasn't a Christian at all. I mean, I had been, but I wasn't living as a Christian at all. And I certainly wasn't politically aware. I didn't care a bit about politics. So I was just basically a deadbeat bum for a lot of years that wasn't living up to his potential, and was sort of depressed about that, and buried my depression in drinking and things like that. So my wife saved my life, probably. She helped straighten me out, saw that I needed to focus in on an actual career, and I chose education, which should have been there all along because my parents were educators. And my wife supported me and helped put me through college a second time, in which I did excel and got my bachelor's and later my master's, and have been teaching for the last 18 years. Also during that time, my wife and I returned to church, and I became very much active in church and also became a youth sponsor myself. And we were very involved, and as a part of my reconversion into Christianity, I began to buy into that myth that to be a Christian meant to be a political conservative. And I bought all in on it. And for 7 or 8 years of my life, I would have never considered voting for a Democrat, because I thought that was anti-Christian. I bought into that big lie. So much so that I actually even began to question my parents' and grandparents' faith. I was like worried about them. Like, how can they be Democrats and be Christians? Yes, that's what I thought. I grew up in a very strongly Christian household full of Democrats and family full of Democrats, and now I was questioning that. That's how far I was swept up in this, I guess you call it brainwashing, that conservative Christianity has over politics. So, how did I get back? So, first of all, about 10 years into my teaching career, I found my career as a writer as well, as I wrote my young adult historical fiction called The Carter Journals, Time Travels in Early U.S. History. And that opened the door to a lot of opportunities and to become acquainted and friends with some of my writing idols and all of this stuff, and it motivated me to write more. And I started doing a little personal blog about December of 2015. This was all about the time that there was a lot of controversy in our state of Indiana about education. It was very apparent that our Governor Mitch Daniels and his education superintendent, state education superintendent, Tony Bennett, were on the prowl and stalking public education. They were trying their hardest to come up with an accountability system that would only increase the achievement gap between the haves and the have-nots. Comparing apples to oranges between these school districts, which are vastly different in the kinds of kids we have to deal with. Some school districts are wealthy and some are very torn by poverty and trauma. And we're asked to make all of these kids jump over the same bar, regardless of where their starting point was. And all of this nonsense. And they then revealed their plan to use public money, public tax money, to fund private schools in the form of vouchers. And I saw it as a direct attack on public education and the separation of church and state, which I believed so much in as a history teacher. The Establishment Clause clearly makes that kind of thing unconstitutional, but they're getting away with it. So that started to tear me away from that brainwashing about the conservatism that seems to be stitched in with being a Christian. I could not support candidates with that kind of agenda against public education. So, for the first time ever, used my little private blog, which I'd written some things about family and different kinds of stories like that, but nothing political. I decided to write an article to express my frustrations with everything that was going on in Indiana along about the time Mike Pence was announced as Donald Trump's running mate for president, for vice president. And I entitled the article, Why Mike Pence Terrifies Me. Now, before that article, stuff I wrote on my little private blog, a good response to an article might have been, it was read by 700 or 800 people, and I'd be tickled with that. This Why Mike Pence Terrifies Me piece blew the lid off. It went viral. Within a day, it had been read by over 50,000 people in dozens of countries around the world. I was getting private messages and friend requests on social media from dozens of people I'd never met who lived in other parts of the world. It was crazy. I'd never experienced anything like it. But that step, that bold step I took to be honest about my political journey, the changes I was going through, appealed to people in that article. And it struck a nerve. And it emboldened me to take more risks, to be more honest, and start to call out other things that I saw that the conservative Republican branch of politics had sort of hijacked. And lost in all of that was reflecting the love of Christ that we're supposed to reflect as Christians. I started to see this much more clearly. I started to see it with immigration, with the response to the Black Lives Matter movement, with the response and the uproar against public health care, and all of this nonsense that was so against what I saw as the way Jesus taught us to be. And I was able to pull myself right out of that brainwashing fairly quickly. And I started seeing that I could separate my political and moral beliefs, my religious and moral beliefs, from my political beliefs, my political voting. So I realized, yes, I can be against abortion, but that doesn't mean that I have to vote every single time just because that's the only issue I'm concerned with. Because I realized that voting for people who are against abortion all the time also means that I'm voting against public education. I'm voting against an easier path to citizenship for immigrants. I'm voting against the marginalized of society, the LGBTQ community, the Black Lives Matter, racial injustice problems, the education, public education, all this stuff. So how do I balance that? And the answer is, I separated self from state. I'm a constitutional Christian. I want the Constitution to run my government, as it should, because not everybody are Christians, and that's the way our country is set up. And I want me to take care of my own moral and religious and faith-based principles. Never the twain shall meet. Once I got there, I saw it all so clearly. I could completely separate myself from the far right areas I used to be in. So I started writing, and eventually, not too long after the Pence piece, my blog was purchased by Patheos, and suddenly I had a much larger platform, and many of the articles I've written have far surpassed the Mike Pence piece that started it all in readership and all that. And I never would have envisioned this. It just kind of happened organically, very quickly. So I used my platform on Patheos, Empathy Mining, I have no illusions that I'm going to change the mind of the religious right. I'm not going to change their minds. I'm not going to turn them into overnight liberals. That's not going to happen. But I want to, and my main mission here is to change their approach, change the way they present themselves. Because the way it is now, I see far too many right-wing Christians who present themselves in a way that absolutely repulses non-Christians. And thereby, they drive a wedge and further marginalize the already marginalized to the point where they'll never darken the door of a church. And is that the mission of Christians? Are you supposed to drive people away by shouting people down and pointing fingers and saying you're a sinner? I don't think so. I didn't see Jesus do that. I saw Jesus, when I read my Bible, I see him hanging out with the very marginalized people of his society that the religious leaders of his time persecuted him for doing it. We've lost sight of that. A big segment of our church today has become political to the extreme that they put politics before the teachings of Jesus. So what I'm trying to say is it's okay to have your strongly held political beliefs, but not to the extent where you present it in such a way that it further marginalized the already marginalized. It's a key point. And I keep trying. Sometimes I feel like I'm writing the same article over and over again with a little different spin. And it's really true. It's kind of what I'm doing. But I'm just trying to find different ways to point out that you can have your beliefs and not step on the rights of others. This country is not a Christian country. It never was. From day one, it was set up to be quite different than that. It was set up to be a place for any religion to have the equal rights under the Constitution. And that shouldn't scare Christians. It should make them feel comforted because their way of worshiping their God is going to be protected right alongside everybody else's. Once you turn over the church to the state, they're going to make it you do it their way, and you may not like their way. You want forced prayer in schools? Well, who's going to pray? What kind of prayer is it going to be? You got to be careful what you wish for. So that's basically how my story came to be and brought me here to this podcast that supports my blog, the Empathy Mining blog, on Patheos. And I hope that I made myself clear. I hope that you understand my mission is not to change people's minds necessarily. It is to change the way they present themselves before the world, so that non-Christians might be actually drawn to them because they see the love of Christ reflected rather than repulsed by them because they feel singled out and marginalized. I think that'll do it for today. Thank you for listening, and look for the next episode soon.
Into the empathy mind, into the empathy mind.